Maybe you have testimony to testify or a good word for the Lord to testify. Amen. Well, let's see. I'm just following the order here. Okay. Well, I guess I get to preach it now. Amen. I may not be much of a singer, but I like preaching. Amen. Let's go to, if you stand with me, please, and open your Bibles. Let me just get in 1 Peter tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. First Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and we will read responsibly tonight. And for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For in time past our life may suffice us to have wronged the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to do the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this ministry tonight, for this church tonight, for this wonderful people, loving people, Lord. We pray that you would visit us tonight, that you prepare our hearts for the preaching of your word. Lord, help me with this feeble lips, sometimes stumbling words, and Lord, help me to bring forth the message that will glorify and exalt you. Oh, Father, that you would stir us and move us to grow closer to you. Lord, for if we draw nigh to you, you draw nigh to us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you do so now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I like, and I want to use for a text tonight, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, beloved, one of the things that I want to share with you tonight, and is that key verse, the rest of our lives. You know, I look back at my life, you know, and I know I'm not, you know, some of you are further ahead in years than me, and some of you are behind years than me, and so on, but I look at how quickly time changes things. Yesterday, I found a picture of photographs in our closet, and I began to look at the earlier years of our ministry and the earlier years of when my wife and I first met, and I was only 29 waist, and I looked at myself and I said, man, look at me. And then I looked at people that were in those pictures. Some had gone to be with the Lord and were faithful servants of God. Others have fallen by the wayside. And even though I looked and had a fun time of reminiscing, there was also parts of heartbreak for people I knew that along the way had lost sight of the will of God. And I'm sure you as well can remember people in your own life that you have an influence in your past, and over the years how the life of certain people have changed. And really, beloved, the rest of our lives. I like that key phrase because sometimes we think, you know, I like it when kids get up and you ask them a question. You know, I've done this for my whole life, and they're only like 8 or 9 years old, you know. And they always, I've been like this my whole life. And the truth of the matter is none of us know how much time we really have. I think of a young man that we knew, of course, Eric Tharp, son of Pastor Eric Tharp, young Eric. And, you know, I served with him in a ministry much like this, and it was a children's ministry. And he went away to Bible college, came back one Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving, he was killed tragically the very next day. And everybody started coming up with analytical things and why this, and, you know, it's human nature, or why we look at those things. But one thing we all realize is that at 12 years old, he had lived, at 10 years old, he had lived half his life. And what if today we were to talk about the rest of our life? Peter is saying here, the rest of my time, I will not live in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. Peter, I'm sure, had made, like most of us, mistakes. We've made mistakes in life. You know, one of the things about life is, it's funny, you can either profit from your mistakes, you can get bitter, or you can get better. And sometimes we choose to get better, and sometimes we choose to get bitter. Every experience in my life, God has a purpose with. Now, that's an awesome thought when we think about it, but everything in my life, God has carefully ordained to mold me more in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, God's ultimate purpose is that the world may see Christ in me. And every experience in life, every situation He brings me to, God has an ultimate purpose of making me more like His Son. You think about life, how brief it is and how fragile. In fact, James said, what is our life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away? And our life is fragile that way. You know, he says, I've made some mistakes in life, but the rest of my life from here on out, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve God. We can't undo what we've already have done. We can't change the past. But we can certainly do a lot about the future. Amen? Listen, I love this country. I'm scared for the things that I see happening. And I say that not in a not scared in a way, but I'm fearful what could happen in the future. You know, a lot of speculations are being made about the future, about the spending plan, about all kinds of things that people are going to do, all kinds of speculations. But listen, as believers, the first thing we ought to focus on and the very decision we have to make is that no matter what happens, we're going to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of my life, whatever that might be. I was in a hospital room last night. I was going through a sleeping test, and the guy said it. He said, your oxygen level between 2 and 3 in the morning dropped very low. In fact, I almost ran in there to give you an oxygen mask. Now, I had no idea. I was asleep through the whole thing. But you think about it, what is our life? And what if our life had ended, what could you say that you have done, that you have been pleased with in your life? And listen, you got to forget about the past. If God has forgotten your past, who are you and who is Satan to bring it back up? Amen? One of the greatest things about salvation is once I got saved, all things were passed away. Behold, all things became new again. Amen? Isn't that a great thing? You know, the truth of the matter is God forgave my sins. Most Christians are the ones to remember sins, amen, when God has already forgotten them. And listen, we need that starting point to remember that for the rest of my life, I want to do the will of God. Oh, that if we would make a decision like that tonight, that for the rest of my life, Paul said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Hey, I can't change the past. I can't take back tomorrow. I'm reaching for those things which are before. That I can do one thing. about I press towards the mark and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's my goal today? Well, I'm pressing to do the will of God. Five truths. Let me give you five truths tonight that we need to practice for the rest of our life if we want to live our life for Jesus Christ. First of all, the first step is salvation. You know that I was illustrating to the children this morning what salvation means. Salvation means that you, in your sin, and by the way, the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve God's judgment. God said the wages of sin is death. Deserve to go to hell. In reality, that is the truth. There is no other truth here. You're guilty of sin. And God has a right to send you to hell. But God loved me so much. Isn't that a great statement tonight? God loved me so much that he gave his son Jesus Christ, and Jesus took literally the punishment that I deserve so that I through him could have eternal life. A father one day was given a note, about his son that had been behaving bad. His son thought that he would the son was given the note, told the teacher. The teacher said, I want you to bring this home to your dad. Well, the son, thinking he was smart, took the note and hid it. And he thought, hey, I can get this by my dad. That night, the father around the dinner table asked, so how was your day today, to both his son? One said, I had a wonderful day, dad. And the other one said, so did I. Any of you get in trouble? No, we had a great day. He looked at the younger son and said, well, that's interesting because I got a note from your teacher. You ever had that feeling of getting caught? And the truth of the matter, if God were to look at you today, you know what? We're all guilty. We can't escape our own guilt before God because we all have sin. And we all come short of the glory of God. When the father took out the note, he said, son, your teacher said here you've been misbehaving, getting in all kinds of trouble. He said, I want you to go out right now. He said, and wait for me in the woodshed. And boy, that boy knew exactly what that meant. He knew that he was going to get a whooping. And by the way, I got plenty of those when I was a kid. Whenever I got in trouble, but I deserved them. I can say that now that I'm older. I didn't like them, but I deserved them. I caused my father's judgment, just like my sin has caused God's judgment. The father went back, and the boy knew that sooner or later he was going to get that whooping. You ever expect, you know, I remember whenever I got in trouble, and I knew my dad was always the bell, and I could just expect that. I knew exactly when that first hit was coming. When that thing came up in the air, and it made that noise, I knew it was coming down, and I knew what was the pain that would be inflicted right after that. And you say, boy, that's corporal punishment. No, no, that's a good godly father that wanted to train his son right. Amen? Took me. That boy was waiting for the punishment to come down. He heard the noise. Came down, but nothing happened. The third time, he heard the noise. He came down, but he felt no pain. The third time, he just was intrigued of why he kept hearing the belt swing in the air, something coming down, but no pain. When he turned around, his father had hit himself on a leg. He turned around and said to his son, this is what Jesus did for you. See, he took the punishment of the sin that you were guilty of. And tonight, I want you to know Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. Amen. So God placed upon him, the Bible says, the iniquities of us all, that through him we might have salvation and eternal life. First thing I want to know, I want to practice for the rest of my life. Verse 1, it says right there, for as much as then Christ hath suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. You know that the battleground that Satan uses is the mind. And here we're told to arm ourselves with the same mind. First of all, we need to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. We need to arm ourselves with the spiritual mind. Romans 8 and 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. If your mind is not focused on the Word of God, if your mind is not given to the Word of God, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so what is he? The things that enter into your mind, the things that enter into your heart, the things that possess your mind and your heart. Listen, if it's not focused on Jesus Christ, then it will draw you away from God. Romans 1:28 says about them that were of a reprobate mind. They said, even as did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over into a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And it speaks about those in Romans that went to a total state of lasciviousness. By the way, that word lasciviousness means without restrictions. We live in a society today without any kind of restriction. Anything is acceptable. Anything is, you know, we live in that kind of sinful society today that accepts anything openly. But we as believers need to arm our mind with the Word of God. You know that we're told over and over again to thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not what? Sin against thee. The best arm we have. Listen, Satan wants your mind for a battleground. Everything that comes across the air, he wants to get control of your mind. Why? Because if he gets control of your thinking, and if he gets control of your thought, by the way, I'm not a positive thinker, one of those guys that came out years ago. What I'm telling you is guard your heart with the Word of God. In fact, the Bible tells us, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And sometimes we end up falling away from God because our mind does not focus in the Word of God where it should be. It ought to be determined to do the will of God. And secondly, not only do we need to arm our mind, but we need to aim our mind. What does it say in Isaiah 26:3? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know that sometimes we get into the area of restlessness and lack of faith because our focus is not on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, this is why God gave me this as a defense. Amen? The Word of God, so that I may take the Word of God and be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. That I may be able to take the Word of God and prepare my heart and my mind, and I can keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at it today as a whole, our nation is not at peace. Believers sometimes are not at peace. Why? Because their mind is not stayed on Him. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, sometimes, folks, we enter trust in other things more than we do the Lord. We tend to look at other things more than we do God. We tend to trust in popular opinion more than we do God. And it's time we get back to the Word of God and trusting God. You know, trusting God is not trusting feelings. My feelings and emotions change from day to day. I'm not the same person I was this morning. They change. You know, I'm not the same person I was a year ago as far as feelings. My feelings change. And by the way, people who live behind feelings suffer through a whole gamut of emotions. They live life totally in the flesh. But as believers, we're told to keep our mind and our heart focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say in Romans 12:2? Be not conformed. See, the problem today is that we get conformed to this world rather than transformed by the power of God. It's easy to become comfortable in this world. And we sometimes become, you know, here's the problem, folks, is we have a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And when we become conformed to this world, it's because our focus is on worldly things rather than spiritual things. It's because we're feeding the flesh more than we're feeding the spirit. You know, this sinful nature of mind, left uncontrolled, is capable of anything. Someone said long ago, sin will make you pay a price that's higher than you ever thought and take you further than you ever wanted to go. So one of the things I need to do is not to be conformed. Listen, as a believer, my place is not conformity, but it's transformation, renewing my what? My mind. That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I need to aim my mind not to be conformed, but to be transformed. It's easy to get comfortable. By the way, we all have areas of comfort, don't we? In fact, if you look, Jesus said, because you were neither warm nor cold, you were lukewarm. You ever get in the shower? And you know, you turn the shower for the first time and it either comes out blasting hot. Now that happened to me after I went through this sleep test. I came home, you know, I turned that shower on and it was fully set on hot. That thing burned me. And I screamed and got out of the way. The worst feeling is when the water is bone-chilling cold. And you step into that shower and you say, whoa! But when it's lukewarm. And you notice that we never wanted one extreme or the other. We wanted in between. And you know what happens to the person that Jesus said that is lukewarm? Is because he's comfortable right where he's at. At least the cold person, he said, I would that you were warm. Or he said, I would that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. See, a cold person knows that he needs to get hot. He knows that his attraction is to get hot because he's uncomfortable in that state of temperature. The hot person knows that he needs to get hotter. But the one that stays in that area of comfort, that lukewarmness, never does anything for God. Because you know what he says? He goes, I'm neither hot or cold. I'm just right. Leave me alone. And Jesus said, because you say you're neither hot, nor you're cold. And let me give you my transliteration. You make me sick. And sometimes, folks, our attitude towards the Christian life, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because we're not in the position where God wants us to be. For the rest of my life, I want to be, prove what is the I don't want to be conformed to this world. Conformity never paid off, but I want to be transformed. And how can I do it? Renewing my mind, renewing my heart to do what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In fact, the Lord said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And sometimes we allow things to come into our lives to take us, our focus, the aiming of our mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And sometimes, and most of the time in our Christian life, it's so important that we learn to focus our mind to do his will. Secondly, I want to practice his will. Best way to know that I'm in the will of God is to practice the will of God. 1 Peter 4:3 says, for in time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, that's our past life. When we walked in lust, in excess of wives, rebellings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. In verse 15 and 19, we find that God's will invest in the rest of our lives. Listen, if we're going to do God's will, we have to invest in the rest of our life. But if we give into the world, we waste the rest of our life. What is God's will for us to practice? What does God want me to practice? Number one, God's will, salvation is God's will. Amen? God wants me to be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then after salvation, God wants my service. One of the greatest things we found coming to this church is that everybody is involved doing something for God. That's why it says in 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, the happiest people in this church are those that are serving. Most of the people that build lasting relationships in this church are those that are involved in service. You know, sometimes people don't find the happiness that they should find in the will of God because they're not serving the way they should. You know, God did it all for me. I ought to be willing to do the most I can for him. That's my reasonable service. That's what the Bible calls it. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is what I can reasonably do. So that's service. And you know what? You ought to be looking. Sometimes people say, well, what can I do? Well, pray that God will find you a gap to fill. Believe me, there's plenty to do. Believe me, there's plenty of areas for you to serve. Pray that God, you say, well, you know, there's not much I can do. Hey, there's not much I can do. To tell you the truth, unless the power of God is in me, there's not much I can do. I can't even sing. But I want you to know, if there's something I can do for God, I certainly want to devote my life to serving. If he did it all for me, then there's certainly something that I can do for him. Not only is service God's will, but sanctification is God's will. You know, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You know, every experience in life, and I've said it before, but let me just say it to you again. Every experience in life, God allows to mold me more into the shape of Jesus Christ. Everything that happens in my life, God has ordained it for a reason. I remember the story of the silversmith. And the silversmith would come, and he would take its silver in its pure form, and he would put it in a cauldron, and he melt it and heat it. And he would come back and gather a ladle and would dip it into the silver, remove the dross, and come back again, and he'd turn up the heat. And he would come back a third time and turn up the heat, remove the dross, and then turn up the heat one more time. At the seventh time, that silversmith would know that the silver was ready when he looked in the silver and was able to see his reflection. And I want you to know that's the same thing God does with us. He brings us through experiences in life to make our message powerful, that we might reach the world for Jesus Christ, and so that Jesus Christ can see his reflection in us. I want to prepare for his judgment. There is a pending judgment. In fact, the Bible says that we shall give an account for him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. You know that someday I'm going to give an account to God for every word I speak, for every deed I've done. I'm going to give an account to God. Now, I'm not going to face the same judgment as a sinner, but I'm going to face a judgment for being able to do what I could do for God and not doing it. You know, we've all reached that area of excuses, you know. We all have our comfort excuses. Why we don't do certain things. Well, you know, I don't do this because, well, I don't do that because, and ever since excuses came out, nobody's been wrong. But sometimes God sheds something in our heart, and the very things that we do is we put up excuses. Someday, our secrets are going to be exposed. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Boy, if God were to really look in our hearts tonight, have you ever seen that chick track that says, remember that old show, This Was Your Life? Now, I'm aging myself here, I know that. But I remember when I was a child, they would bring a contestant out, somebody who was famous, and all of a sudden they would break out a book and say, This Was Your Life. And all of a sudden, voices of the past would come out and speak. And, oh, it'd be such a wonderful show. But you know what? It won't be so much for some at the judgment seat of Christ. When he says, this was your life, I wonder what kind of things would come up. I wonder what kind of things we could have done for God and how many excuses we put for God that were really excuses. When the secret things of the heart will be exposed, and then our standing will be expressed. Romans 14 says, but why dost thou stand to judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Someday I'm going to give an account to God for what I didn't do, what I should have done, the things that God has enabled me to do, and not being able to use it. You know, some people are going to be like the biblical story where Jesus told of the parable that some took their talents and instead of using them and multiplying them, they hid their talents. And boy, what a shameful day that would be when what you could have done, what you could have done for God, you never did. Fifthly, I want to be patient with the people of God. Boy, there's one thing we need today is patience. Amen? And let me say this. There's going to come some people to our doors that may not dress exactly like we do. Amen? Or may not live our lives. Listen, and sometimes through, we get in a state, and I've said in my own Christian life, it's happened, we look at the world through our own set of eyes, and we think everybody ought to meet up to our standard. And we begin to judge people instead of drawing them in. Let God do the judging. Amen? Let us go out and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Thank God. Listen, I thank God that in this church, sometimes there's a mess. You know, we came last night and there was all cracker crumbs and everything else all over the floor. And you know what I did? I thank God for that. You know why? Because where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. Amen? Thank God that there's children being reached here. Thank God, listen, that there is messes. Amen? They'll clean up, but lives that we impact will impact for a lifetime. Lives that are transformed will be transformed for a lifetime. Why? Because we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the things that stand against the will of God? Sometimes the things that stand in the will of God is my lack of submission to God. You know that sometimes I don't get into the will of God like I should, because I'm not submitted to what he wants from me. Sometimes is I think more of feelings over actions. And then sometimes is my own hard-headedness. I know what the will of God is. I just refuse not to do it. Such as children. The Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, sometimes even not doing the will of God involves directly disobeying the word of God and not submitting to it. But I need to every day submit to the will of God because I want to live my life, the rest of my life. Boy, if we make a determination like that, I want to live the rest of my life to please God. I don't know what that entails for you. I sure know what it entails for me. I want to do with that. Verse 11 said, if any man speak, in chapter 4 of Peter, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be what? Glorified. Folks, we do what we do because we want to glorify our Savior. Not for my glory, not for your glory, but all the glory in this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do is about pleasing God. Every decision we make is about pleasing God. Every life we live should be about pleasing God. Someday life will be over. What will be said about you and about your service to God? I think about those that have gone before us. You know, the Bible says, having such a great cloud of witnesses around us, let us dispose ourselves of the weight that does so easily beset us and hinders us. Every day we ought to make a decision. As we get up in the morning, every decision you make will be a decision based on whether you're going to live for God. It may be a decision for you tomorrow morning as how much time you're going to spend in prayer. It may be a decision for you about how much time you're going to spend in Bible reading. Listen, things are getting more dreary and dreary each day. People are falling and our nation is falling more and more away from God every single week. And the only hope that the United States has is salvation through Jesus Christ. The same answer our nation always had is to come back to God, is to be restored in God. But I want you to know, they'll never will unless they see it in you first. Someone said, the words of a song they used to say, We're the only message the world may ever see. I told a teenager's story about the beehive, and I was showing them an illustration. And I spoke about one particular bee in the beehive, and this one is called the scout bee. And God has an intricate order of things, you know. The way he does things is just amazing, even in the world of nature. The scout bee goes out and flies and finds a source of pollen. Now, bees use pollen, of course, to make honey. But the job of the scout bee is to go out, find the source of pollen, and then come back into the hive and report where that source of pollen is. It will make certain movements with his body and certain twitches with his body. With those twitches, that bee is dictating exactly the directions to get to that source of pollen. And the worker bees then fly out following the directions they were given and find that source of pollen and come back and gather all the pollen that they can so that the queen bee, of course, and all the bees in the hive can make honey. Now, if that bee comes back, makes one wrong move, one wrong twitch, it conveys the wrong message. And when the bees fly out with the wrong direction, if they get lost in the journey, they die. And I think about how the world is hoping, how the world is waiting to hear a message from your own life. And folks, if we don't convey the right message, if we don't convey to live the rest of our lives for Jesus Christ, the lives of others are depending on it. Will you reach them? Will you tell them, not only through your words, but the way that you live your life, that Christ is alive and lives in us? Let's bow our heads tonight. And let me ask you this. Do you want to live the rest of your life for him? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You say, well, I got a whole life ahead of me. You don't know what may happen in the next minute or so. Truth of the matter is, if God were revealed to us what would happen to us in the future, we'd be scared to death. We don't know. All we can do is trust him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know that you're going to heaven. You're here tonight and there's a possibility, and I know, and I can tell you right now, and there's no possibility, it's the truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, for God said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. The only way that God has ordained for salvation is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You just can't be saved any other way. There is no religion that's going to save you. There is no set of beliefs that's going to save you. It is only faith in Jesus Christ that will save you tonight. He was the one that came and died, that you through him may obtain eternal life. God wants to save you tonight. God wants you to begin the rest of your life with him. It doesn't matter what's in the past. What matters is what decision you can make tonight. When you stand before God, he's going to ask you, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? Tonight, the message of the gospel wants to reach you. Would you be willing to give your heart to Jesus Christ? If you're a Christian tonight and you're here and you're not living for him, maybe it's time you make a decision that for the rest of your life, you'll be submitted to what God will ask for you, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh, or in the lust of men, but that you will live your life in the will of God. Let's stand tonight. As the music plays, man, I'm going to ask you, just with your head bowed, and tonight, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you say, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. I don't know that if I die today, I go to heaven. But tonight, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus in heaven. Number two, you might be a believer and say, I'm a believer, but I haven't been living my life the way I should for him. Boy, if tonight I could rededicate my life to live the rest of my life for him, I'm sure going to do that tonight. I'm going to let him take control of my life from here on out. It doesn't matter what's in the past. What matters is what decision I make to draw nigh to him today, to get closer to him today, that I may live the rest of my life doing his will. If the Lord has spoken to you tonight, as the music plays, I pray that you come to this altar. Amen.